Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that I think it's important that we look at this morning, because I think many people suffer with what we're going to be dealing with this morning. And so the message I'm going to be talking to you about is basically facing depression. And the reality is that many of us as believers have to oftentimes face depression. Now, you can come to church and clap your hands and lift your hands and look all happy, but when you're at home alone, there are times where you just feel like the whole world is crashing all around you. And, you know, the reality is that I don't think there's too many people that haven't had to face this kind of feeling, emotion, this condition, whatever you want to call it, but many of us have had to deal with facing depression at some stage of our lives. The problem with depression is that it can really become so overwhelming, and it can get you to a place where one of the things I've noticed about it is it gets you to a place where you feel extremely lonely. You feel all alone. You feel like nobody understands you. You can't share with anybody what you're going through, because people don't understand perhaps what it is that you're dealing with. And unfortunately, oftentimes depression then leads to us doing things that are bad. You know, young people revert to cutting and all kinds of different things which we're aware of. And so this morning, I really feel that we need to face this thing. Is that okay? Thanks for that overwhelming amen. I bragged about you guys last week to the second service, and here you are this morning disappointing me again. Amen. All right. But I'm sure it's going to get better, because I'll give you something to shout about a little bit later. Amen. Amen. The first thing we need to take a look at, and you know, I've spoken about this before, but I want everybody in the room to understand that as a human being, you've been created as a tripod being, which means that you are not only just a body or a soul. You actually have a tripod being. Let's take a look at it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So now we're talking about the whole person completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that we are a tripod being. The word spirit there is not speaking of the Holy Spirit, it's speaking of your spirit, which means you have a spirit living inside your body. You have a spirit and you have a soul. You also have a body. Is that okay? And I mean, you know, it's not difficult to tell what the body does. If you touch a hot stove with your body, with your finger, it's going to be hot and you're going to be, ouch. Amen. So your body feels sensations. It feels things on the outside. And, you know, your body is what basically, you know, I can feel. If you hit something, you can feel it. So your feelings, especially on the outside, revert to what your body is. Now, your spirit is the part that God has created to have relationship and intimacy and communion with him. When you get saved, your spirit becomes born again. In other words, you are now becoming the person that you are supposed to be the day you get saved. Now, I don't want to go too much into it, because the part I want to talk about this morning is the soul. So the spirit is God's part that he deals with us. The soul is the part that we struggle with. The soul is the mind. The soul is really your mind. And the soul creates what I call self-consciousness. So everything in the soul, the battle, the argument, the discussion, what's going on inside your head generally has a tendency to be about me. My soul, not your soul. Amen. Your soul is about you. Amen. So you constantly, you know, processing in your mind things that are going on in your life and how you're feeling and how you're doing and what that one said about you and what this one said about you. And that's constantly going on. There's this battle taking place in your soul. And the reality is that there is a battle going on in your soul. The part that the enemy desires to get is your soul. But yes, the news for you, the part that God desires is the same part. He also wants your soul, your thoughts, because that's the area where everything kind of revolves around that in your life. And the way you think, the way your soul operates, will affect everything around you. And so we need to learn how to deal with it. Is that okay? Are you guys okay? Are you all here? So in our soul, we have to deal with many things. We have to deal with memories. We have to deal with thoughts. We have to process these things all the time. The battle is always in your soul. Let's take a look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 8. Don't feel too bad if you've suffered a little bit with depression in the past, or maybe you're even going through it this morning. I want to show you that Paul, the great apostle, also struggled with depression. Watch this. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. For we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul was at a place where he was at the moment, he just wanted to die. And so it is with so many of us, and I can honestly tell you, I know how that feels. To be at a place where everything just becomes so overwhelming that you just feel like, I just can't do this anymore. And you shut down and you go into the state and you become so depressed and in such despair that everything around you just feels like it's so bad. And you can't see the reality of what God has in front of you. You just see your circumstances, your feelings have gotten the best of you. You don't even maybe know why you feel this way, but it's become so overwhelming because the reality is it's normally not what's just taken place. It's a whole lot of things that have become so overwhelming. And now you're at this place where you just can't anymore, and like Paul, you say, I'm at the place where I even don't even want to live anymore. Amen. Signs of depression, sadness, tiredness, guilt, weight loss, weight gain, a loss of interest in things you used to enjoy. Things around you might be joyful and stuff, but you just can't see past what you are expressing or feeling on the inside of yourself. And these are signs of depression. But guys, there's good news. Because this morning I'm going to show you straight out of the Bible what the primary cause for depression is. And then we're going to see this morning how we are supposed to deal with that depression or that source. How many of you know if you want to deal with something, you must go after the root? So you must understand, depression is not the root. Depression is the manifestation of what actually took place and what caused you to become depressed. Depression is basically what takes place after this thing takes place in your life. We need to go after that thing. Okay. So what causes depression? Let's go to Proverbs 12, verse 25. I don't know how many of you have seen the scripture before, but when I saw it, I almost fell out of my chair. I'm giving everybody a chance because you may want to underline this in your Bible. This is something you never want to forget. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Boom. Bang. Right there. What is the primary cause for depression? Anxiety. Anxiety. What is anxiety? Well, anxiety in the Hebrew, because this is Old Testament, so we look at the Hebrew meaning, means to worry, to be concerned, and the big one is to become fearful. So when you begin to worry, when you begin to get concerned, when you begin to have fear, that is what causes depression. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 1 verse number 7. I want to show you something. 2 Timothy 1 verse number 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I want you to take a look at this, okay? So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, then when we are affected by fear or anxiety or worry, what happens to us? If we are affected by them, then power is not working. Then if power is not working, okay? Love is not active, and our mind is no longer sound. Doesn't that sound like depression? All of a sudden, it doesn't matter how much love is in your life. When you're depressed, it feels like nothing can help you. Because all of a sudden, you feel like you've lost your mind. You can't reason anymore. It doesn't matter what's good in your life because this thing has overwhelmed you so much, it's consumed you and you lose your sound mind. But God has not given us this spirit. He's not given this to us. He has given us a sound mind, power and love. So we know that the effects of this come from a spirit. The spirit of fear that desires to come against you. Remember what I said to you at the beginning of the sermon. There's a battle. There's a battle for your mind. The battlefield is the battle of the soul, the battle of the mind. The enemy wants to put thoughts of fear and worry and concern and not allow you to see the plans, the purposes, what God says about this situation. So there's a conflict going on. Now, how does this work? The conflict's taking place. Something's happened in your life that causes a bit of anxiety, a little bit of something to take place. Let's take a look at what happens. Let's take a look at the verse a little bit deeper, okay? Anxiety in the heart of man. Let's go back to Proverbs 12. Okay, you guys are there. Good show. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. We know the battle is in the mind, in the soul. But when does it become a problem? It becomes a problem when it gets in your heart. You see, when it's in the mind and the conflict's taking place, that's when you need to do a bit of war against what the enemy is suggesting or bringing against you. The problem is that we allow that suggestion, that fear, that worry, that thing that's busy consuming us to get into our heart. And when it gets into your heart, that's when the anxiety becomes depression. Come on, somebody. I'll say amen to myself there. Amen. So what do we need to do? We've got to prevent the thoughts from getting into our hearts. Because once they, when they're in that mind stage, when they're in that battle stage in the mind, that's when you've got to stand up. Okay? And we'll get to that in just a minute. Proverbs 4, verse 23. I'm going to read it out of the NLT version because it just describes it very well. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You see, guys, when you get a thought, thoughts will come. Good thoughts, bad thoughts. But it's what you do with those thoughts that will determine the condition of your heart. If you allow it to get in your heart, then it will affect everything around you. What we allow in our hearts affects everything in our lives. Now, I've taught you this, but I need to keep teaching it. Because it's something that we have to get revelation of. Guard your heart above all else. We have to take control of our thoughts before they get into our hearts. As soon as you feel like you're getting depressed, you need to know that you have allowed your mind to be affected by your circumstances. And now it has gotten into your heart and you feel like you want to die. Okay? Or like you can't deal with it. Or it's just too much. Is that okay? Are you guys okay? Yes. Amen. Okay. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament. And I want to give you an example of a powerful man of God. And I hope that this is going to give you some hope. Because we're talking about Elijah. Now, most of you know Elijah from the great stories of Elijah. And we're going to look at one of those stories this morning before we take a look at how he gets himself into a serious state of depression. Are you guys okay? Yeah. So, Elijah is at a time where things are going a little bit crazy. And Jezebel wipes out a whole lot of prophets. In fact, the Bible suggests that there was not many left. Elijah liked to believe that he was the only one left, but actually that wasn't true. There was actually 100 of them were actually saved. But he thought he was the only one left. Amen? Okay? So, you know, amen. So don't think you're the only one that's left. God has got many that he can still use besides you and me. Is that okay? And Elijah gets to this place where he gets really filled with the Spirit, filled with power, and he trusts God, believes God, and he challenges 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of Asher. And there's a showdown on Mount Carmel, and he challenges them to call fire down from heaven. And I love the story, because if you really study it, you'll understand how powerful it really is, because this is a true battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of God, the forces of light. The Bible actually says that the prophets of Baal got so frustrated and they were cutting themselves. The reality is, you think that they were cutting themselves out of frustration. No, they were doing rituals to call up all the demons to come and light the fire under the altar. But there was no power. Because you must understand, any kind of creative miracle can only be done by God. So all of a sudden, these prophets of Baal are busy going around and around, and there's 400 of them. Can you imagine? Elijah is one man, and he's standing on the other side, and he's watching them, and he actually says to them, "Where are your gods? Are they sitting on the toilet?" I'm not kidding. If you go study it in the Hebrew, you'll see that's what he says. He says to them, Where are they? Are they on the toilet? So he's getting, and they're busy cutting, and they're doing their rituals, and they're calling the demons, and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. So Elijah goes, and he begins to pray, and he begins to call on the God who created everything, the only God, the one God. And that fire comes from heaven and consumes that sacrifice. Straight after that, Elijah gets them all killed. No mercy. And all those prophets were killed. Now, I don't know about you, but at this moment, if I'm the prophet, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. I'm feeling strong. Amen. God just stood by me. 450 false prophets, 450 of them were doing their stuff, and there were 400 other prophets there, and they couldn't do anything. There was no power. God shows up with his power. The children of Israel start repenting. How many of you know we're having revival? Amen. So it's great. It's great. Then the story doesn't end there. Then Elijah goes and begins, he goes back up to Mount Carmel, and he gets on his knees on Mount Carmel, and he begins to pray for rain because they were having a drought. And while he's praying for rain, he sends his servant out to go and see if there's rain. And he says to him, go look over the waters, or go look over the horizon and see if there's any rain. And he comes back and he says, there's no rain. But Elijah continues to pray, and his servant goes back 7 times. And on the 7th time, he comes back and he says to Elijah, there's a cloud in the sky, the size of a man's fist. And before Elijah could even give him the command to go give to Ahab, the sky was already dark. Can you say amen? The reality is, guys, even if the supernatural is operating in your life, you must understand that there will still be things that will come against you. You must understand that it doesn't matter how powerful you are, doesn't matter how much power you have in you, doesn't matter how much revelation you have in you, you still will have to face things that come against you. I don't know about you, but if I'm at this point, I think I'm at a pretty big high. I think at the moment things are going great. I just managed to call rain out of the sky. I called fire out of the sky. The whole nation has repented. Everything is going great. But watch. Watch what happens. So let's go to 1 Kings 19, verse number 1. I'm going to teach you something this morning about Jezebel. And Ahab now, he finds out what's going on with Elijah, gets the word to him about the rain. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword, the false prophets. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now watch this. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." This has happened right after Elijah has his finest hour. And at this moment, because of one little message, he all of a sudden wants to die and wants to give up. Why? He's lost at this moment. At this moment, think about it. A day before this, fire's coming out of heaven. His prophets, the enemy's being defeated. He is in a great spiritual high with God. God's on his side. He gets a message. A message. A message. A suggestion. A thought that gets given to him. And all of a sudden, he can't get this thought out of his mind. This thought is battling in his soul. In his soul, there's a battle going on because this woman says, "I'm going to kill you. You're going to die." And he can't handle the pressure. So he runs. He runs and he hides and he says to God, "Enough of this." At this moment, Elijah has lost his passion. He's lost his zeal. He's lost all hope. He's become hopeless at this point. All because of one suggestion. Now I want you to take a look at this. You must understand that Elijah is running from Jezebel. But really he's running not from Jezebel, but from her words. From the suggestion that she's made. And that suggestion begins to become a reality in his mind. And he can't take that pressure. Now, if you want to know what the spirit of Jezebel does, that's what it does. Jezebel is not a witch with makeup. Jezebel does that to you when you are going with God. That force comes against you after you've had the most powerful experience, the most powerful encounter, and all of a sudden you feel like you can't take it anymore. Something's becoming overwhelming. The most powerful meetings, the first Holy Spirit Fire Conference we had at this church, I think it was the Holy Spirit Fire Conference or the Feast of Pentecost, we had a powerful, powerful series of meetings. The day after those meetings, I will never forget, I went home and I was so depressed, I wanted to die. And I remember I actually phoned Pastor Leon, a friend of mine. And I said to him, "Leon, I said, I don't know what's going on. I feel like everything is just crashing all around me. And it's because of the force of Jezebel." That's what that spirit does. That spirit silences the voice of God. That spirit wants to destroy God from speaking, from operating. And when God does something great, that the threat of Jezebel then comes in to basically say to you, "Listen, it doesn't matter what God has done, I'm going to take you out." Okay, that was for free. Now let's get back to the sermon. Amen. So he started to allow the thoughts of what Jezebel had said to him to affect him so badly. The majority of the time when we are stressed out or in fear about something, it is something that has not yet happened. So how can we be so perplexed? How can we be so frustrated? How can we be so distressed about something that hasn't even taken place yet, or it's something that's taken place before which we now have no control over? So it's past memories or future imaginations that come into your mind and now paralyze you because you allow it to affect you so much that it gets into your heart. Watch this, because it's really powerful. Take a look at this. Let's go back to verse number 3. The message comes to Elijah, and look at what the Bible says. And when he saw that. Saw what? When he saw himself being destroyed by Jezebel. He allowed the suggestion to get into his heart, and he began to see himself being destroyed by this woman. And so he ran. And so it is with us that when we allow our circumstances, our fears, whether it be financial, whether it be our marriage, whether it be our spiritual life, whether it be in any area of your life, when you allow what could happen to begin to cripple you and affect you so badly that it has its way with you, it gets into your heart, you begin to see it as though it becomes a reality, and all of a sudden you don't even know why you feel this way and how did you get to this point, but the reality is you've become crippled by this imagination, by this suggestion, by this thought. And there are many people sitting in this room, and let me tell you, you are not alone. I've been there. I know how it is to be at a place where you just cannot, you don't even want to go on anymore. But you have to get yourself up. Is that okay? Amen. Are you guys all, are you good? Okay. I know this is a little heavy this morning, but it's so important. Amen. Now you may think to yourself at this point with Elijah, it can't really get a whole lot worse, but let's go to verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He's allowed this threat of death to overtake him. Let's go to verse number 5. Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Now, I want to stop right there. When you get to that place where you've become overwhelmed, where you become tired, weary, you can't continue, the first thing that you must do is you must rest. You cannot go 100 miles an hour. You cannot. You will get worn out. My wife moans at me all the time. You have to have a day off. You have to stop. And when I don't, I always suffer because of it. A few days later, I'll be at the bottom because I don't listen to her. So the first thing that happens to Elijah is he goes and lies under a tree and he rests. He gets some rest. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. You have to understand that nothing changes in your life unless you deal with the situation in your life first. Then only can you help everybody else around you. So what I'm trying to say is, if you are facing something, if you are in a pit of depression, if you are in a pit of despair, get yourself right. Go to God. Rest. Rest your soul. Rest your mind. Rest your spirit. And be refreshed. And the reality is God always comes and gives you what you need to bring you the healing that is necessary. Verse number 6. Then he looked, and by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Nothing will change unless you sort it out. Let's go to verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Listen to me. God, in your season of rest, will not only take care of what you're facing now or are facing from the past, but he will also provide you what you need to face the future. He will give you sufficient provision. You must understand something. When God calls you, when he gives you a promise, he gives you everything you need to make it. It's already in you. But when you rest, He refreshes you and reminds you of what you have available to you to get you to the finish line. Is that okay? So in your season of rest, He will first take care of your current issue and then also give you enough to get you through what you have to face tomorrow. Amen. But you need time to recover from what you've been through. And then God will also give you what you need to get through the future. Let's go to verse number 8. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent a night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God is saying to him, "I have given you provision for the past. I have given you provision for the future. Why are you still here? Why are you still depressed? Why are you still hiding? Why are you still in this place?" And God is saying the same thing to you and I this morning, that we have to get ourselves out of that depression. We have to get ourselves out of the pit of despair, because He's already provided for us for the past. How many of you know He's provided for you? You wouldn't be here this morning if you haven't been provided for. And everything you need for your future is available for you in Him. What are we doing here? The problem with Elijah is that he has become so hopeless, which is basically a manifestation of depression. You become hopeless. And if we go to Hebrews 11, verse number 1, watch this. We all know the scripture. How many of you know that our walk is by faith? Right? How many of you know you're saved by faith? Now watch this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, if hope is the substance, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, if you have no hope, there's no substance for faith. So without hope, you cannot have faith. So that's why when you get depressed, when you get to a place of hopelessness, faith is no longer working. And you've allowed the suggestion of the enemy to get so overwhelming that it's consuming you, it's overtaking you, it's crushing you, it's destroying your life, it's destroying your family, it's destroying your loved ones. It gets you to a place where you don't even want to see the light of day. And that's exactly where Elijah was. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 8 says, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He's already prepared the path for you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Look at this. "Do not fear. Do not be dismayed." In other words, when the threat, when the thought comes to you, you must battle it. You must fight against it. Is that okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Now watch this part. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You have to have the mind of Christ. You have to take every thought captive. Every thought, every suggestion, every threat. Whenever somebody says something evil about you, you have to take it captive. And you have to say this, "Lord, this is what some say, but I need to know this morning in this place, what do you say? What does your word say?" Because if we go back to that scripture, if we go back to Proverbs 12, verse number 25, take a look at this. "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression." Now watch. "But a good word makes it glad." The reality is that when the suggestion or the threat of the enemy comes, what does God say? What does God say about it? My Bible says, "Be anxious of nothing." My Bible says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." My Bible says that when David said, "Who am I that you are mindful of me, God. But the reality is that he is mindful of you. The reality is that he does care about you. The reality is that the word says all these things. His mercy is on you every day. He loves you. What does he say? The answer to depression is we must go to the word of the Lord. What is God saying about you? What is God saying about this situation? Listen, you can't do anything about yesterday, but you have got a lot of authority over what you do from now on. What are you going to do? It doesn't matter how bad it looks right now. I want to speak to your pit of despair. I want to speak to your depression. And I want to say this to you, that I knew you long before you were formed in your mother's womb. And I ordained you. I called you. I set you apart for such a time as this. And the enemy will not have his way in your life. He will not have his way. For many of you have been burnt out. You've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by yourself as well. But God says, I'm going to take you out of the pit of despair. I'm going to take you out of this hour of depression. And I'm going to rise up a mighty army. A mighty army in this hour. Yes, I am, says the Lord. I'm going to raise up a mighty army. And depression will not be their portion. For I have seen the enemy, how he comes. He lies. He speaks evil words. He confuses. He brings fear and depression against you. But I am the Lord who answers with fire. I am the God who answers with fire. I am the God of joy. I am the God of peace. I am the God of love, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just dim the lights for me for just a moment. Amen. Amen. We all come here with different circumstances. We all have a past. We all have a history. And many of us go around and around the mountain facing that same demon that comes to bring despair in our lives. But I hear the voice of the Lord this morning. I know my thoughts towards you. I know my plans, my thoughts, my purposes, good thoughts to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you a hope. And this morning in this place, it is time for our minds to change, to be transformed. A word, Lord, a word that would take us out of depression. And if you're sitting here this morning, just close your eyes and lift your hands. If you need to be delivered, if you need to be set free, let's all stand, let's all stand, let's all stand. Dim the lights some more, guys, please. On the stage as well, please. Nobody look around right now. Let's just focus on him. Let's just focus on him. It's time for you to come out of that depression. It's time for you to let it go. This morning you know that there is hope. And that hope, his name is Jesus. And he died and set you free. And it doesn't matter what thoughts are running through your mind or what thoughts have gotten you to that place of absolute shame and depression, that pit of despair, that loneliness, that dark place. This morning, God is breathing life into that situation, and you will be free, for you are his child. You have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and you are free and free indeed. And I speak life into that this morning. I take authority over every spirit of depression, over every spirit of fear. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus the Christ, and I bind you now. I break your power now in Jesus' name, and I command every spirit of anxiety and fear to go now in this place, to leave now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of depression and fear and anxiety, go now, now in Jesus' name. Now begin to worship. begin to lift your hands. If that's you, if you need to be freed, cry out to Him right now. Right now in this place. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship. Let's lift our voices. Let's cry out to Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to ever have the enemy breathe down my neck and try and tell me who he says I am, because I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am strengthened. I am renewed. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a shout. Let's give the Lord a clap. Come on, somebody. Here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that speaks against the enemy of our soul. And like David would sing songs of deliverance, songs of life, even when everything felt too much, Lord, you would come. You would come as he began to seek your face and cry out to you. So here we are this morning in this place, Father. We know where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from you. Father, don't let us leave the same way we did when we came into this place. Deliver us from depression. Deliver us from anxiety. Deliver us from worries and fears. Let us walk with you. Let us walk with you, Lord. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory. Forever and forever and forever. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you this morning in this place, Lord. Your presence is here right now, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, and we will never be the same, because every encounter with you, our spirit never forgets. Lord, when we get to that place where that suggestion comes, let us never forget this word. That anxiety produces depression, but the word of the Lord will set us free. And so we are free indeed in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you this morning for your word and the truth of your word. All the glory and the honor and praise belongs to you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit go with every one of us as we go this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.